And so if you'll bow your heads, say, Lord Jesus, I want ears. That will hear what your Holy Spirit is speaking to me today.
In Jesus' name,
I pray. We're going to be going to Zechariah chapter 4. And yesterday or Friday, I believe it was, there was a press to listen to Paul Keith Davis. And he was ministering at a church. And the beginning of his ministry time, he began about what happened with John Paul. And of course, he made a confession, which is kind of cute. He said everybody that would know that the two of them got to know each other for a season. And many times people would call him John Paul Jackson instead of Paul Keith Davis. And John Paul got called Paul Keith. So there was a harmony between them. And to be very honest with you, I remember when we met Paul Keith in New York State, several years back now, he has one of the same qualities that I saw in John Paul. Both men, very humble. Mm-hmm. Not advertising their own accolades or their ministry. Just simply being precious men of God doing a job for the Lord, not for themselves. And he began to share his little presentation that he had known and prayed, and they would exchange text messages periodically. And I believe it must have been John Paul's son who texted a message to him, please pray for my dad. Or it could have been John Paul himself. I don't know the details. I probably have to re-listen to the message. But the confession from Paul Keith was just absolutely awesome for me. Because he questioned the Lord like, I guess, normal men do. Supernatural men or Holy Ghost men don't do that. Normal men do. So kind of bump your neighbor and say you're normal. He had prayed for him when he was fighting cancer. And to be honest, we did as well. The recovery was excellent. The victory was there, etc. But when he got a text message to pray for John Paul, he went to the Lord and said, you know, Lord, what do you have to say? Because I don't know. Don't know what's right. And he ended up with the book of Acts. And it was the scripture on Stephen being stoned. Anybody remember that? Stephen would have been an awesome man of God, very young, probably late teens, early 20s. Extremely talented and probably the next chosen vessel to spread the word. So he read that particular chapter in the book of Acts and he said, Lord, I don't get it. Are you trying to tell me that John Paul's going home? Is he being stoned to death? See, that thought entered my mind. A couple times. But I did not let it dwell. in that space. And I went back to the Lord, and he reminded me that we have St. Paul's letters, and everything that Paul had to give was given, and he could go home. Well, in my understanding, when you've got a teenager being stoned to death, I wouldn't say he had everything to give that was supposed to be given. Because rationally, brain says, oh my God, he had, you know, so many more years. But what happened is, Paul Keith said, he didn't sleep half the night. He was arguing with the Lord, saying, it can't be. He's not going home. We're going to have a miracle in the morning. I'm going to declare your word. I'm going to decree your healing to him. And prayed in the spirit and argued with the spirit's revelation. Have you ever done that? Now, I'm not trying to comfort you in your own reasoning or rationalization. But I am saying that it is a very normal thing that when we are told something by God, our first reaction is usually to try to figure it out.
Amen.
And if we can't figure it out logically, we try to press for a few scriptures to make it fit our reasoning.
Or we call somebody and they...
Oh, I love you. I'm trying to tell you you're related to Paul Keith. So am I. Because the first thing he got up the next morning, after some hours of sleep, I don't know how many, he got another text that John Paul was now gone with the Father. That's not the news that he wanted to hear. He said the Holy Spirit then reminded him. The scripture that came to his heart was, if they had known that when they were crucifying the Lord of glory, they would have never done it. Why? If the demonic kingdom had knowledge that they were about to crucify the Lord of glory, would they have done it?
The word says no.
The word says no.
Because look what it did.
What did it do?
He took all our sins.
Yeah!
Yeah.
So Holy Ghost sneaky got in there, did something, caused the enemy to get angry, the enemy retaliated, and God got the
glory.
And he said, remember, when Stephen was being stoned, there was one holding up the coats of those who were stoning. What was his name?
Saul at the time.
Saul of Tarsus. Yeah. He became Paul. But he also became an awesome anointed man of God. Yet he was one that was crucifying the Lord of glory. He was putting the saints into bondage, preparing them for death. And had a certificate to arrest them, probably in his mantle or his wallet. So after I listened to that, I'm not going to say it made me comfortable, because I have a tendency to hold on to those that I love, even if they're gone. What they've deposited in me, I made no excuse for. I'm just an emotional being sometimes, and the tears roll out all by themselves. I don't need any help. They roll. What am I saying to you? John Paul was a gift to the body of Christ. Paul Keith is a gift to the body of Christ. What is he trying to do with all of us? Trying to get us to the finish line. for he had determined what he needed to do for each and every one of us. And he's determined to get us to that victory. Now close your eyes for a moment. Say, I'm an eternal being.
I'm an eternal being.
Because
I've been feeding
at the tree of life.
Life.
And I will not die.
And I will not die.
Even should I leave this body,
my journey
will continue for eternity.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Chapter 4, verse 1, and the angel who talked with me came again and awakened me like a man who is wakened out of his sleep. He said to me, what do you see? I said, I see, and behold, a lampstand of gold with its bowl for oil on the top of it, and its seven lamps on it. And there are seven pipes to each of the seven lamps, which are upon the top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side of it, feeding it continuously with oil. Oil represents what? Holy Spirit. So I asked the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he said to me, this addition of the bowl to the candlestick, causing it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees, with an S, is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, of whom the oil is a symbol, says the Lord of hosts. And who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles, before Zerubbabel, who with Joshua had led the return of the exiles from Babylon and was understanding the rebuilding of the temple before him? You shall become a plain, a mere molehill, and he shall bring forth the finishing gable stone of the new temple, with a loud shouting of the people, crying, grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hand of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this house. His hand shall also finish it. Then you shall know the Lord of hosts has sent me, his messenger, to you. Who with reason despises the days of small things? For these seven shall rejoice when they see the plumb line or the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Then I said to him, what are these two olive trees on the right side of the lampstand and on the left side of it? A second time I said to him, what are these two olive branches, which are besides the two golden tubes or spouts by which the golden oil is emptied? And he answered me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two sons of oil. These are the two sons of oil, Joshua the high priest and Zerubbabel the prince of Judah, the two anointed ones who stand before the Lord of the whole earth as his anointed instruments. You say, what are you getting at with all this? These two sons of oil represent two individuals. You can look it into the Revelations, it also speaks of the two, but they are branches, right? Remember about a week and a half ago, somebody brought me a nice little message. What does it say? I am the vine and you are
branches.
Okay. First of all, he talks about this being an olive tree. Then he changes the word and he calls it a branch. If you were to look back, you'd see that Jesus is also called a tree of life. He's also called the branch that grew from the stump of Jesse, which is King David. These are all coordinates and pictures of one thing. Jesus, to me, if I make this connection correct, is the first branch. Who's the second branch?
Us.
Because it says, Christ in the earth, returning in his people, to do the same and better works than the first one did. So the corporate church is going to be able to produce the fruit that the first branch produced. And it's not going to be by might. It's not going to be by glory. But it's going to be by the same Holy Ghost. When you look back with Jesus, he is walking for 30 years. All around the neighborhood, visits Jerusalem twice and three times a year on the feast, yes? He celebrates all of the feasts of Israel, which we're about to celebrate. We're going to be looking at Passover again, and I pray it's going to be another journey that will be awesome. Now, did Jesus look like an average guy to all the normal people of the city?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I believe that. I believe that when he went with his family and his brothers, John 7 said they didn't believe in him. So over and over, our Savior is walking around the earth. Nobody knows he's the Savior except for three kings that came to visit when he was born. All the hierarchy of Israel can't buy that this is the anointed one. They have no clue. John the Baptist shows up on the scene. He has the anointing of
Elijah.
Same Holy Spirit that's inside of Elijah is now inside of John the Baptist. Jesus shows up at the Jordan. John says, ha, come on. I don't want to baptize you. You need to baptize me. Is he the branch then?
Yes.
Who notices that he is the real olive tree? Who notices that he is the tree of life? The Father acknowledges.
John the Baptist did too.
John the Baptist, yes. Yes, you're right. So now we've got one man. So now we've got four that know, plus a couple of women. Who are the women? Mary?
Magdalene.
Mary Magdalene's not in the picture yet.
Right, it was just, okay.
Just Mary?
Yep.
And who else?
Elizabeth?
Yes, absolutely. So you got three men, three kings. You got John. That's four, and two women. Six in all. They're already gone. Because they were of the age before. They knew. The kings might have still been alive. We don't know that. But we do know now that there were three in the land. The other three are outside. They're in Babylon. So you've got three that literally know who the Messiah is. Jesus is told he's the Messiah by the Father, but he's going to be tested. Why would he test us?
Because we're the image.
Yes! We have the same Holy Ghost in us, and we think we're not going to be tested. Kind of dumb. If the firstborn son gets tested, the secondborn son is also going to be tested. And then we will prove faithful. Why? Because we're going to be trusting on what? Grace, grace, grace to the mountain of human obstacles. Yes?
Yes.
How many of you have got a few mountains in front of you? Mm-hmm. Okay. Then lift your hands to him and say, Father,
Father,
you can see,
you can see
all the human obstacles.
That are in front of me.
And they're magnified
by my
selfish emotions. I want out.
But it doesn't work.
So I'm going to
shout grace
to the mountain
of human obstacles.
I will shout grace
and more grace.
And it'll become level ground. It's my mouth that will make the decree. And I'm making it now.
And I'm making it now.
More grace.
More grace.
Until the finish line is in sight.
Until the finish line is in sight.
And give me the favor.
And give me the favor.
To bring precious thoughts.
To bring precious thoughts.
Of victory.
Of victory.
On a regular basis.
On a regular basis.
So I will not fall back into deception.
So I will not fall back.
Or confusion.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah! It's not by might.
It's not by power.
I can't kick my way into the kingdom.
Or kick my way into freedom.
But by his grace,
I'll make it.
Hallelujah.
May I ask a question?
I don't know if you could, but you can.
When you were talking about the Lord being crucified, this thought came to my mind. That's when the veil was ripped, correct? When the veil was ripped, was that giving us entrance into his presence?
Absolutely.
That had nothing to do with...
It was a setup. Back in Genesis, two angels were put on guard so that the way to the tree of life had to be shut down. Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The way of the tree of life, two angels are put into the presence. When Moses is setting up the tabernacle, he said, I want you to embroider two angels on the curtain, representing what's really happening in the heavens. Nobody gets to the mercy seat. Except once a year, through the blood of animals. Yes?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When Jesus died, what happened to that curtain and those two angels?
Mm-hmm.
From top to bottom,
this
curtain was 4 inches thick.
I read 3 inches.
The width of your hand.
I'm sorry, 3 feet. 3 feet is what I read.
No, it's not. Well... the thickness of the curtain was 3 inches, the width of a hand, basically, 3 inches thick.
Okay.
Think of a curtain that is woven with ropes instead of thread, and you'll get a better picture in your mind of what that curtain was like. Who is going to be able to tear that?
No one.
Nobody. Got it? When that victory was done, and he said it is finished, the curtain was ripped. The angels said, our job is done. You can now go freely to the throne of mercy. The mercy seat is now available. The throne of grace is open. And you can live forever. Why? Because your sins are been totally dealt with.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting that it went from the top to the bottom, ripping, rather than from the bottom up.
Because man is on the bottom.
Right, right.
But the angels did it, so it had to be ripped from the top, and they wouldn't have been able to reach it in the natural.
Right.
So, How does that sit with you? Kind of neat, huh? Now close your eyes. Put one hand over your heart. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I'm expecting. Confirmation.
Upon confirmation.
Of what you've planned. For the tomorrows of my life.
Whether I'm in this realm or the other.
You will get the glory.
Hallelujah.
I ask now.
For your favor.
To give this good news.
To those you've prepared.
In the days ahead.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
That's all she wrote. Yeah.